Back at the end of March, I start hearing rumors that we were going to get our fourth pillar back. And I thought, oh, great, this is going to happen right after Easter. This is going to be perfect. And so why don't I go ahead and do this series? What's holding us up? What is it that supports us? What do we think is the most important thing as Christians, as followers of Jesus, that Jesus said that we must do? And so I was so excited to start this series when our new pillar would be up, and then it wasn't. But in anticipation, I started this series anyhow, right? So we started a number of weeks ago, right after Easter, and we covered what Jesus, in Matthew chapter 2, when Jesus responded when somebody asked him the question, what is the greatest commandment out there? And Jesus said, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And we just said, you know what? That's one of the most important things that we ought to be about. Well, that's pillar number one. That is holding us up. Love God. And we talked about authentic worship in our life. And then we said that the second part, what Jesus said, well, the second commandment is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so we said that the second pillar, second thing that's holding us up is building community. We want to be about building community. Then last week we moved to Matthew chapter 28. And before his ascension, and Jesus said, hey, you all told his disciples, I want you to make other disciples, teach people to obey everything that I've commanded you. And so we look at the third pillar, the third thing that we think is most important is making disciples. And so in God's great timing, when he gets that fourth pillar installed, we are going to be on the fourth pillar this week as we cover this fourth pillar that's holding us up that we think is most important. How many of you, when you were younger, your mom left you chores around the house? Nobody else? Really? Okay, this is like audience participation to kind of wake you up a little bit before we get going. So, okay, I remember, and like I shared, man, I dreaded that, especially during summer, because my mom is like, it's summer, you have nothing to do, so I'm going to give you things to do, like clean out the kitchen cabinets and junk like that. And I hated the chore list, because to me, that was nothing more as a kid than delayed fun, right? Yeah, I mean, I can't have fun, but anyhow, I come across some good things of description of chores. Here's the first picture, is this here. I thought this was interesting. A good title for a chore chart. Chores. Right? And then there was a 21st century chore chart looks like this. For today's Wi-Fi password, you got to empty the dishwasher, fold the laundry, and stuff like that. I thought that was kind of interesting, you know, before you get to do the fun stuff. Then this next one is... this is a flow chart I think I read that was done by a woman who lived with a bunch of guys, okay? And it's a flow chart. Is it dirty? Yes. No. If it's no, it's good. If yes, did you make it dirty? Yes, clean it. If no, will it take 5 minutes to clean? Yes, clean it. No. And then the final one is she says, are you a man or a boy? Man up and clean is what she's saying. So... and then this last one is if it's a kind of a chore chart. If you want to mess with your husband or your child, give them this to go to the store and get like 3% milk. Fat-free hummus, seedless strawberries, unsour cream, stuff like that. That's just a good way to mess with people. But right before Jesus ascended to heaven, he left this chore list to his disciples. And in Matthew chapter 8, we covered it in Matthew chapter 8, but we're going to get to we find the fourth one here. And here's what it says in Matthew chapter 28. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, Jesus says. Therefore, go. Go. Now, if you have a Bible in your Bible and you like to write in your Bible, circle that word go. Okay? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. So here's Jesus' final command to the disciples, go and do. Go and do. Jesus trained them for 3 years, told them how to relate to God, how to pray, how to treat other people, how to minister to people, how to meet people's needs. And then when he died and was resurrected and before he ascended, he gives the disciples this short chart. And what he's basically saying is, I want you to continue this movement that I started. Now, Luke's version in Acts chapter 1, I want us to, you can turn there, it'll be on the screen. Here's Luke's version of this event. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. It says, then they gathered around Jesus, his disciples, and they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now pause there for a minute. Jerusalem is the city where they're living, where they're hanging out. Judea is the surrounding countryside. Samaria is that place. Oh yeah, we remember Samaria. We don't like those people very much. They don't like us. We don't like them. But Jesus mentions it, okay? And then he says, to the ends of the earth, to everybody that you come in contact with, he's saying, go and do. Be my witnesses. Testify to what I've said and what I've done. Continue on the movement. Carry on my ministry. Enlarge God's kingdom. Make a difference in the world. And then he continues on in verse 9. After he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. And they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going. Get that picture, okay? They're staring, looking intently. When suddenly, you don't know how long that would have been. It could have been like a long time. When suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. And so the angels are saying, what are you guys doing? Go and do what he told you to do. And so part of our mission as a church, one of the things we ought to be about is to carry on this movement that Jesus began and to go out and impact the world. That is our fourth pillar. We are part of this movement. We go out and impact the world. A couple years ago, my daughter Kara had ordered a water bottle online. And when it came, and she opened it up and everything, and in the package, there's one of their little cards, and it was their mission statement card. You know, here's what we're about. And it said this, the company was Simple Modern. It says, Simple Modern seeks to develop exceptional products and lasting relationships. We are committed to doing business with excellence, placing the needs of others above our own, and delivering high quality products that will simplify our lives. Every business, every company has a mission statement, has a purpose, has something to guide them that kind of tells everybody what they're all about. And Jesus did too. Jesus did too. When Jesus began his public ministry, he stepped into a synagogue on one Sabbath and he opened up the scriptures to Isaiah chapter 61. And he read it, and Luke chapter 4 records what Jesus said that morning. And he said this, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus, who takes the looks into this writing of Isaiah 61, and he basically says, this is my mission statement. This is what I'm about. This is my purpose. And then he went out and did it, right? And so Jesus' mission out in the world took two forms. The first form that it took is proclamation. And notice there were three times in there, he quoted Isaiah, three times in there he mentioned proclaim. He proclaimed good news to the poor. And it's not just physically poor, but spiritually poor. Physically poor, because, well, how's it good news? Because when back then when you were poor, the thinking of it was that, you know, God doesn't like me. You know, those rich people God likes because God blesses, but God must not like me very much. And Jesus is here to proclaim, no, good news. God loves you no matter what. Good news. He proclaimed freedom for prisoners, freedom for people who have been trapped in sin. Is that good news is that God forgives you. God loves you. God forgives you. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He's talking there, referencing what was called the year of Jubilee. Every 50 years, Jewish people were to release people who owed them money. You were to forgive people who owed you money. Okay? If someone had owed you a ton of money and they would sell themselves into slavery to you, to forgive that debt, you were to let them go. Okay? You were to return land that had been sold because of debts and stuff like that. And so the whole idea is there that God loves you and forgives your debts to him. And so Jesus is proclaiming over and over God's love for people. That's the whole idea about parables, right? Think about the parables, especially that we read in Luke chapter 15. As he would tell these parables about God's love. God's love is like a woman who lost a coin and can't find it, but she searches and she searches and she searches until she finds that coin, and then she rejoices. Or a shepherd who lost a sheep. God is like that shepherd who searches until he finds you. Or the story of the prodigal son. Think about the love in that. The son till rebels and he goes the other way, and Jesus tells that story in such a way that you realize God is like that father who welcomes and waits and waits and waits and then welcomes the son back. And so Jesus is proclaiming, this is what God is like. This is what God's love is like. And then he would challenge people to respond to that love. It's not just, hey, look how awesome God is, but he would just say, repent and believe and follow me. Change your ways. He would challenge people to respond. And so Jesus, one of the forms of Jesus' ministry was proclamation. But Jesus' mission also took the form of ministry. He mentions recovery of sight for the blind and setting the oppressed free. Jesus sought freedom for people who were trapped in bondage and oppression and poverty, both spiritual and physical poverty. You think of how Jesus went about and healed people and ministered to people, healing the blind and the deaf and the mute and lepers and casting out demons. Jesus sought to make people's life situation better. That's what he was about. Remember how he told the disciples, remember when they asked him, Lord, teach us to pray? Remember that line from the disciples, from the Lord's Prayer? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so what Jesus did there was taking the goodness of God's kingdom, love, forgiveness, peacemaking, healing, comfort, and he brings it to earth and he spreads that around to other people. That's what he's talking about there. And so what Jesus is doing here in Matthew and Acts is challenging his disciples to do the same thing. To go out and impact the world through proclamation and through ministry. Now today, our mission is the same. It's the same thing. We are to be his witnesses. We are to give testimony about what Jesus has done in our life. We proclaim that God loves people, that God welcomes everyone, that God forgives people, that God has a wonderful plan for people's life on this earth. There's some scriptures I encourage you to just look on your outline. 1 Peter chapter 2. Scripture says this, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." 1 Peter chapter 3, he says, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." We are to be involved in this proclamation part of our mission. And then we impact the world by making it a better place, ushering in the kingdom of God. That's ministry. And we are all called to do ministry, not just paid staff, not just super spiritual people. We are all called to do ministry. And Jesus wants us to improve people's lot in the world. He wants us to alleviate suffering, to end poverty, to help people that are addicted, to free people who are in bondage and who are in oppression. Look at some of these scriptures. And if you have your outline, I just kind of wake you up here. If you have a bulletin, get out this outline, because I think it's always helpful to look at scriptures as well. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus told them, "Listen, you all are the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." We're to go out and do good deeds so that God is glorified. Hebrews 13, "Do not forget to do good." Ooh, that's interesting. It's like we can forget to do good. Which means we can kind of get into the habit of just going with the flow and doing whatever the rest of the world's doing, whatever pleases me. And what a nice reminder in Hebrews. "Don't forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased." Don't you just love to come across that word sacrifice? I mean, talk about a chore chart. On chore chart, we are called to sacrifice in doing good. 1 Peter chapter 4, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received." In other words, he's saying you all have received a gift, okay? It doesn't say if you've received a gift. It says each of you should use whatever gift you have received to do what? Serve others. As faithful stewards of God's grace in his various forms. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus tells this parable between the sheep and the goats, where people are separated into receiving either blessing from God or punishment from God based on what they've done for God's kingdom. And people who receive the blessing are those who feed the hungry and give drink to the thirsty and give people clothes who are without, and who visit strangers and befriend the strangers, and who visit people who are in prison. And Jesus, the amazing thing Jesus says, when you do those things, it's like doing it for me. It's incredible. And so here again, he's giving it, this is what we're supposed to do. And then in Luke chapter 10, the parable of the good Samaritan that many of us know. When someone asks Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" And he tells this story. The bottom line is anybody who needs mercy. It doesn't matter if they look like us or not, or if they go to our church or not, or if they speak English or not, or are citizens of this country or not. It doesn't matter. The whole point of this parable is that we minister to whoever has a need. That's the bottom line. And so our calling, our mission in carrying on the ministry of Jesus is to help people. We are called to do something. To do something. Now, on the back of your outline, we've got a bunch of things that you can do. All right? You can join in. You can join us. And that's part of this. And you've heard us talk about the Busy Beavers, the small jobs team. We've got the children's ministry. I'm sure right around the corner, Beth is going to start making a call for Vacation Bible School volunteers, all right? And so, you know, intensive work for a week. But it's a need that we have, right? There's a church beautification team and a cleaning team ministry as a way of that we have a nice, clean place to worship God in. The comfort and joy team, people who like to sew, turn around and sew and make things, providing homemade gifts of encouragement. Communications team, assisting with the AV team on Sundays. You saw how things messed up this morning? We need help. We need more help, all right? So, but we've added two wonderful people that I'm excited about. But, you know, we'd love to have somebody that would work our social media, that would be dedicated to doing social media stuff. We have an encouragers team, spreading love through cards and emails and calls and visits, helping hands, hospitality team. We have people that, you know, if you go into the hospital and you get out of the hospital, you don't feel like making a meal, guess what? We have people that will provide you with meals for like a week or so. It's awesome, right? Just helping out. We have a prayer circle, meets every Monday at 9 a.m. Tender Hearts team. We have a group of people that a couple times a month go to the nursing home and visit people who are relegated to life in a nursing home. And I keep hearing every time, I hear blessing after blessing after blessing in regards to that, helping others. Welcome team, greeters and people who deliver welcome bags to people who have visited our church. And then there are local partner ministries like Habitat and Flavanna Meals on Wheels. I think Meals on Wheels is always asking for people that would want to help drive and so on. So, and the clothing center, with lots of opportunities to serve. You are invited to join one of those things. And here's the other thing is maybe God has put something on your heart that you'd really like to do, a group of people you'd like to minister to. And it's not on this list, come talk to me about it. That's how a lot of these things got started. Busy Beavers and Comfort and Joy, is that people just said, hey, we you know, a couple of us are going to get together and do this. And it's like, boom, then all of a sudden, God does something with it and it grows. So come talk to me. We like to start new ministries. Here's the deal. Don't get so busy. Don't get so busy in your life that you can't do ministry. Because it's easy to do. There's so many things that can suck our time. So many good things that can suck our time. But we want to remember that fourth pillar. We want to make an impact out in the world. And so, here's the other thing I want to say as well. You are never too old to do ministry. Because I know there's probably a number of you out there that kind of said, you know, when I was younger, when I used to be able to do things in the church and serve in the church and, you know, I worked with the youth or did this and did that, and now, you know, I'm old and I can't do anything. Let me tell you something, okay? My mother has received encouragement cards from this dear lady over here, Marie Clowater, who is going to have her 93rd birthday this month, all right? And she sends cards to my mom. You're never too old to stop doing ministry. There's something. All you need to do is ask God, okay, and God would share with you. So if you're curious about any of these things that are on this list, send me an email, write it on the back of the visitor's card, put it in the giving basket, and we'll get back in touch with you. We do these things because it makes us feel better, right? We do these things because Jesus commands us to. Oh, and by the way, it will make us feel better. Yes, it will. It will. That's the added blessing. This is how we bring the good of heaven to earth and make the world a better place. That's why it is one of our four pillars to impact the world. A couple of years ago, my wife, Diana, and I, we had the opportunity to go visit Alaska. Great place to go. We just loved it. And while we were there, we learned a little bit more about the Iditarod. Many of you know about the Iditarod, that dog sled race that takes place every March that goes from Anchorage up to Nome, 1,000 miles long. But did you know that the Iditarod did not begin as a sporting event? It's not how it started. It began as something far more serious. In 1925, in the city of Nome, there was an outbreak of diphtheria, which is an upper respiratory disease, particularly can be fatal to children. And this was before there was immunizations and vaccines and all of that. But that disease hit Nome, Alaska, and the only doctor in that city feared that there was going to be an epidemic. And so he ordered the entire city to be quarantined, people to be quarantined in their home. But he knew the only thing that was going to end this outbreak was an antitoxin serum. And so he ordered one from Anchorage, but he knew that it was not going to arrive in time. Because it couldn't be shipped there because Nome freezes over as winter approaches. And so, you know, it couldn't come by boat. Planes were still iffy in the 20s yet. They weren't reliable. And so they took the serum that they had and they rushed it by train to the city of Nenana. And then teams of mushers and dogs lined up as a relay along this route. 20 teams, 20 mushers, over 150 dogs rushed 300,000 units of serum to the city of Nome. It was called the Great Race of Mercy. 674 miles in 127 hours. It was a record that stands to this day. No, nothing has been as fast. And the result of those heroic efforts, four dogs died, one had hypothermia, one had frostbite, but hundreds of lives were saved because of that. Now, despite that amazing origin, if we look at the Iditarod today, it's just another sporting event, isn't it? Teams race a similar path. They still have sleds, still have dogs, still have snow, still have cold, but the motivation is totally different. People aren't racing to save lives anymore. And you know, the same is often true of churches. If we're not intentional about what Jesus commands to do, what was once a life-saving mission can become a whole lot less. We've been given this urgent message and this urgent mission from Jesus. You might say the race is on. So let's fully embrace and live out these four pillars of Beaver Dam. Let's be a people of God, committed to authentic worship and building community and making disciples and impacting the world. You know what I would like to see? I would like to see that everyone in Beaver Dam knows what we're all about, right? Like if you run into somebody up at Walmart or whatever and you say, oh, yeah, I go to Beaver Dam. Oh, what do you guys do down there at Beaver Dam? And you'll be able to say, boom, here we go. And you can give them the shortened version, which is our motto, okay? I've kind of made it our motto, and that's this. Love God, love others, learn Jesus, learn the ways of Jesus, and we do something. All right? Good motto? Let's say it together. You need none? Love God, love others, learn Jesus, do something, right? That's what's holding us up as followers of Jesus. Would you bow your heads, please? And in this time of silence, I just want you to think about what is God saying to you in regards to these four pillars of what Jesus spoke to us about. What is God saying to you? Here's the follow-up question. What are you going to do about it? The Spirit asks you to do something. What are you going to do about it? Father God, we are so grateful that you have rescued us. You have forgiven us. You have cleaned us up and are still cleaning. And you have even equipped us to serve. We might not even know it yet. There might be hidden things that we can do, but Lord, you have equipped us to serve and enlarge your kingdom. So, Lord, as we go about this week, may we look at it differently. Lord, would you give us the courage to share the good news of Jesus? Would we begin, Lord, we would begin to formulate our own story of what Jesus has done for us to share with others about what he's all about. God, give us courage to serve, because many of us can be timid and shy and unsure. But Lord, like Jesus told his disciples, I am with you always. And so we don't go it alone. We go with the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you for calling us and equipping us and promising to always be with us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.